fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Storm.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is Saturday, December 2nd, 2023, almost Christmas time. And today we've got Angus Mustang as my co-pilot. And then we have the lovely Karen Carpenter is joining us to talk about EMF and maybe some of the potential health risks and things like that, and kind of go into the history of it and things we might want to be concerned about. So I guess we'll start off by going around the table. Angus, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. How about you, Karen?
I'm doing fine. My husband didn't want to let me do this until that Corvette arrives.
Oh, the Corvette. Yeah.
He cleaned out the garage. He's waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting on glass packs. Apparently, you know, with the EVs out there, they're not making them anymore, you know. But anyway, so I guess we'll jump into it right away with the verse of the week. And to preface this, I was doing some research. We did a show with Angry Tiger. It was a religious show, and I got some positive feedback and some negative feedback from it, you know, because I'm the kind of guy that likes to lead by, you know, kind of try to be the example, but be loving and kind and not try to like hit people over the head. And, you know, some people think that, you know, it's our job to go out and proclaim the truth as loud as possible. And that definitely is supported in the Bible. But during my research, I came across some stuff, you know, I don't want to digress too much, but during the research, because I'm always trying to grow, I came across some stuff that actually was perfect for this week. All right. Let me hop over to it here. This comes from Jonah 3, the first four verses there. Now the words of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. That's huge. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And to kind of put that in context, what was happening was, I guess the city was kind of in sin and stuff, and God was going to destroy it. And he sent Jonah out to go warn them. Hey, you're going to be destroyed. And so he did. He went and warned them. And at the end of the day, the king repented. He called for some fasting and things like that, and told people not to sin anymore, and God spared the city. So in that scenario, that was just telling people not to sin. But when we look at it in today's world, that's what we're trying to do. You know, some people say, you know, God's going to, you know, the end times are coming. There's nothing we can do about it. Some people try to rush it in. And some people say, well, there's no sense in doing anything because it's going to happen. But I still think, you know, and some of the research I did, there's another biblical, I'm not going to show the page, but this guy talks about, if you see a car, here it is. If you knew a bridge was out and you saw someone driving towards it at 50 miles an hour, the loving thing to do is warn them. Whether you think it's going to make a difference or not, we still, you know, I think we have an obligation to warn people. You know, what's your take on it, Angus?
Well, if it was Joe Biden driving the car, I'd wait to accelerate it past me and then go, hey, stop. Oh, never mind. But no, my question is that 40 days, is that supposed to be the 40 days of the rain that before the flood? Is
no, that was Noah. No,
yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, you know, to me, I'm not that up to speed on all this. So I hear the 40 days, and the first thing I think of is the flood. So,
you know, they may be something to 40 days. I know seven is a kind of a number that God uses a lot, 7 days of creation. And, you know, but so I don't know, that's something I might look into, see if there's a significance behind the number 40.
Is it like 33, you know?
Yeah, 33.
You know, 33 always for the Masons. So.
Masons, yeah. What do you think about that, Karen, about warning people? Like, and this is what we're doing today. That's why this was perfect. And I think God had me come across this through conversation, because this is perfect for us, warning people about EMF and things like that and New World Order. So what do you think about that Bible verse?
I think that we have a responsibility to live in a way that sets an example, that even if we aren't expressing warnings verbally, we can set an example and maybe lead the way, or at least not make things worse, have a positive impact. But I warn people in roundabout ways about a lot of things. You have to be careful how you do it. It really takes some tact.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm kind of struggling with, you know, how do I don't want to chase people away when it comes to religious stuff. And I hate the word religion because that's what man made it, but faith, exactly. I'll say faith. You know, you don't want to chase people away from the truth, but you want to tell the truth. You know, you don't want to compromise your message. And that's just my style, but you know, I've been working on it. And the show we did with Tiger, you know, this previous week, brought up a lot of conversation, and you know, I gotta look into that.
I just tried to be low key and let the people who really know they're have done that studying take the lead and just give a little bit of opinion here and there on that show.
There you go. All right, well, let's jump into the topics. I know we got a lot to cover. We may run long today, folks. I apologize if we do and you have something to do, but we will be sure to be off before America Unplugged comes on, because we always don't want to step on their time frame or time, whatever, when they go on. But yeah, so it's electromagnetic, what is it, EMF? There's several different ways to call it, right? But we'll call it EMF for today, electromagnetic frequencies. And just to kind of start this off, I actually have a short video I want to share that will, in case someone's completely unfamiliar with what EMF is, this will kind of like grade school it down, so we know what we're talking about. Hold on, I accidentally killed my screen. I didn't mean to. There we go. All right, so let me go ahead and play this.
The electromagnetic spectrum refers to the many types of radiation released from stars, including our own sun. Electromagnetic radiation travels in waves. Frequency describes how many waves per second a wavelength produces. Wavelength measures the length of an individual wave in meters. Scientists describe the electromagnetic spectrum as a long line. At one end lie radio waves, with the longest wavelengths and lowest frequencies in the spectrum. A single radio wave has the length of a football field. After radio waves come microwaves, which produce more energy due to shorter wavelengths and higher frequencies. Cell phones, radar, and microwave ovens use microwaves. Next comes infrared light, the sun, fire, living creatures, and other heat sources.
All right, I won't get into the light thing, but the big takeaway was this spectrum, okay? And if you look here, and this is kind of backwards from what she showed, where the lower is on the left and the higher is on the right, you can see that, you know, you start off with electricity, you got power lines. It's a higher power to get it across the lines. And then we move into cell phones, wireless routers, you know, AM, FM radio, satellites. And then you get into the infrared, which is heat. They actually make ovens that heat with infrared. And then we get into visible light. So it's all the same thing. And the reason I bring that up is because your cell phones, if you notice, they work on a microwave frequency. And that was my specialty the first time in the Army, was microwave transmissions. And people would joke and be like, what do you fix microwaves? And I'd be like, ha ha ha, no, it's just called microwaves. No, it turns out they're the same thing. So when you pick up that device, you're operating in that microwave band, the spectrum. And that's kind of where I wanted to go with it. There's two things that I come across. One is heat transfer, and the other is, you know, how do microwave ovens work? Because that's what we're basically dealing with, is little mini microwaves that are they're not as focused. But we'll talk about that a little bit. What do you know about, Karen? What do you know about the EMF as far as the spectrum goes and stuff like that?
That was an excellent video. Do you want to know what I know, or do you want to see the slideshow?
We can get into your slide. Let me go through what I got first, and I'll make it quick.
Because I can't tell you what I know in a short.
Well, I don't want to go through yours too fast, because I know you did a lot of preparation. Okay. But I'll go through mine real quick and address my concerns with microwave transmissions.
Awesome.
Specifically, let me
go ahead. So you cannot stick your head in a microwave oven, you know, but you can put it by your head all day long. You know, it's
can't crazy. Put your cat in it, but you could talk on your phone by your cat.
Yeah. And I have a wireless router down here by my feet, so I'm getting very nervous right now.
Yeah, and routers work in that same thing too. Let me go back to this, because I went kind of back old school. If you remember, they used to say, oh, did you grow under power lines, you know, saying there's something wrong with you, right? That's kind of in your ELF, almost your ELF frequency. And you know, I did some research to find out, you know, does living under power lines, because that's a very low form of what we're talking about. You know, like if you use a magnetic compass and you get near a power line, you'll see it swings towards the power line or jitter. You know, it affects things around it. And I looked in to see if there was any kind of studies done to see if this is bad for you because of that old saying, you know, did you grow up under power lines? You know, what's wrong with you? So in 2005, and I'm reading this for the sake of the audio listeners, researchers at the University of Oxford found an association between the distance from power lines and childhood cancer in Britain. Okay. And I'll just kind of paraphrase this because I know we have a lot to go through. But in all this research I did, it turns out that there's a lot of indication that even that low frequency and weaker frequency has health effects.
Absolutely.
Now, there was some other studies done. Here, I'll just read it. So, California Power Line Study, and this was funded by the power company, okay? They found no evidence of risk of childhood cancer for families living 164 feet or more from power lines. Now, that's the thing, 164 feet or more. And if you go in and you start looking at the stuff they've done with cell phones, the research they've done with that, the research from any EMF, it has to do with distance and duration. How long are you exposed? So all this time they're telling us that, oh, this is safe, it's acceptable. They're basing it on, you know, how long you're exposed and how close you are to it. And that's kind of alarming when you consider how, you know, people use their cell phones all day long. And, you know, I think the acceptable amount was like 15 minutes a day at like 12 inches from your head was the acceptable amount that they say it's safe. Right. And that's why when cell phones first came out, every cell phone had to, at least in the U.S., every cell phone had to come with a wired headset. Because that was their way of skirting that, you know, that liability, saying, well, we gave them the opportunity, but they didn't give them the information, you know. And if we go into the ELF, and this has been proven, ELF has carcinogenic, there you go, effects on the human body. So I was looking at it that way, you know, you've got, they've already proven EMF has health effects, but I started thinking about the microwave thing, because I remember when I was in the Army as a commo guy, we had this technology called topospheric scatter. And what that is, you know, I worked with point-to-point radios. You got a dish here and you got a dish here, and it kind of like focuses it, and you get, you know, about 50 miles is about how far you can put those at the max if you got a tall enough tower. But if you want to go further than that, what they had to do is they would have to like really ramp up the power and point the dish up at the atmosphere. It's called topospheric scatter. So you shoot a whole lot of power up there. Some of it would go through out into space and some of it would reflect back down. And you could literally cook a hot dog or pop popcorn in front of this. Like, I've seen it. And this is the same spectrum, the same roundabout spectrum that our cell phones and our Wi-Fi operates on. So that was just something worth noting. And then, let's see. I also looked into how does a microwave oven work, and I already knew this, but I wanted to have it ready for the screen because we're talking about the same frequency. Let's add this to the stage right here. Microwave ovens. Actually, let's go into it first. Microwaves cook by using electromagnetic waves, which are absorbed into the molecules of water, sugar, and fat in food. What are we made of?
Mm-hmm.
We're mostly bags of water, right?
Right.
Water. Food and fat, or not food, water, sugar, and fat. That's what our bodies are. This action causes them to vibrate, which creates heat to cook food fairly evenly from the inside out.
Put a so few metals in there too in our bodies.
Yes, but it primarily heats up water molecules and then it heats from the inside out. And I've known this for a long time because I was curious about how, well, when I was a microwave technician for Commo, I looked into how microwaves work because it kind of concerned me. It's the same name, right? But I said, well, maybe microwaves work on a different frequency, right? So I got this. This comes from one of these came from, okay, that was from Whirlpool, actually, the first article there. And this is food physics or something. It's from IOP.org. Not sure what that is, but it breaks down how a microwave actually works. And it says microwave ovens at home or in a restaurant operate at the frequencies of about 2.45 gigahertz. So I said, well, maybe that's not what cell phones operate. Maybe I'm chasing something down here. Hmm. And I looked, look at our spectrum. 2.5 gigahertz is right about, it's between AM, FM radio, wireless router, and cell phone.
I think most 4G is right about that.
Yeah. Level. Yeah. And you're right. And I had some more stuff. I won't get into that because there's a lot of documentation, but low band 5G and like the later 4G are right around the same frequencies that a microwave that cooks food operates on. Okay. Now that in itself, because we're talking about the dangers being distance and duration, right, may not be a problem for everybody. I mean, if you want to take the risk, if you have this information and you want to sit there with your phone against your ear all day, that's on you. And you could tell because your ear will get hot. You know, it'll raise the temperature in your freaking brain by a few degrees if you're on that phone for more than 20 minutes. But, you know, that's not a big deal. And I'm trying to get through this quick, Karen, so we can get to yours.
Take your time. Take your time.
But
well, even just, you know, carrying it. I mean, my cell phone is in my pocket all the time, my front pocket. You know, it's, so now with the 5G, your phone is a relay. It's not just getting the signal from the tower. It's actually passing along other people's signals. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
you're talking about the tower.
Yeah, you're talking about duration. I mean, so 16 hours a day, we'll say, you know, you have it on you. Or close to you?
Well, Assyrian girls.
Go ahead.
In chat, Assyrian girls saying something that I was going to talk about, and I think you're going to talk about, Karen. She says research into large scale epidemics that were termed influenza prior to the proliferation of electricity have been linked to periods of intense sunspot activity. Again, mm-hmm. EMF. You're correct. And we're basically recreating that by blanketing our world in RF transmissions of a specific frequency. Okay. So going back to distance and duration, and I'm sorry, you were going to say something, Karen, let me get back to you.
Well, I wanted to say about the schools and the wires. There was a school here in town. There was a cancer cluster amongst teachers and students, and it was investigated for quite some time. And that's occurred around the world and around the nation many times, that schools and neighborhoods have clusters of cancer or other things, but cancer is the main one. Also brain tumors. I've seen a case with a mother whose son went to college and died of a brain tumor, and there had been a tower erected on the building he was doing a lot of his studying in, and I think she actually won the case. So it's it's pretty well known. And when my daughter-in-law had cancer, one thing I thought about was she lived in they were struggling financially and moving from place to place. And they lived in a little rented house with the power lines really close to going over the top of the house. And I used to tell her she needed to get one of those Mylar space blankets and put it over herself, because she was just, I knew that was not a safe place for her to be. So yeah, it's a real problem. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and pull this up because it's pertinent to what, we're talking about. So this is a study here from NIH, effects of radio frequency electromagnetic radiation on neurotransmitters in the brain. So, you know, we talked about the microwave potentially cooking you, right? Slow cook. And maybe we're on defrost mode right now. I worry about what's going to happen now that we got, you know, Starlink, and we've got 5G towers going up everywhere, because now we're kind of turning that from defrost to a broil. And we're living in it 24/7. We got our round, but I digress again. But anyway, this was a study that was done, and they talk about how it affects the brain and your neurotransmitters, metabolism, all that stuff. It affects And I want to go down to the actual studies they did. And I had it there, but I lost it. I was looking in that same range, but you could see they're dealing with different 900 megahertz here. 224.50 megahertz. They did all these tests on rats.
Mm-hmm.
And the results tell you what it messed with. And you'd be surprised that, let's see, HIAA increases the increase in the cerebral cortex at 5 and 10, whatever. So they're basically, it's hard to read this, but they're telling you the effects. And they're telling you that, you know, this was only exposure for 10 minutes, you know, 30 megawatts at 10 minutes. This glutamate and aspartic acid decrease one day after radiation. I mean, it goes on and on. So it's not just the 5G. It's everything right around us has, and it's studies that have linked it to, you know, mental problems. And we've go ahead.
Part of what I had in this book I read called The Invisible Rainbow goes through a lot of the health effects. And we're electrical beings. We operate with chemicals and electricity together, and the electron transport is really important, the positive and negative, you know, electrons and neutrons. And so the fields, the electromagnetic fields, interrupt or interfere with the electron transport, which is translates into all kinds of chemical processes being not so efficient. Our mitochondria, which is the little factories in our cells that produce energy, they aren't efficient. And so we see a lot of problems with that. And that's just one thing that it does.
Well, I mean, I've seen people suggest that our rising rates in autism and anxiety and all the stuff we didn't see 50, 60 years ago, it could be attributed at least partially to being bathed in EMF of all types.
And that's another thing that this book went into. Yeah.
Let me bring this up. So, you know, people say that, you know, you get all of a sudden there's all this cancer, and a lot of people saying, well, it's from the vaccines and this and that. What also happened during the COVID was the 5G, the onslaught of 5G.
Exactly.
Could it be a combination thing, you know, where both of these things operating together? But, you know, you ever hear the thing that they always discredited, saying that conspiracy or truthers said that COVID was 5G? So the other thing of that is people speculated that they were using COVID to cover the 5G.
I think that's more likely.
They cranked it up. I think that's like you're saying, anxiety and all that, but also the, you know, I always say people are just, they're very short with each other now. Frequency is just messed up, man.
Well, one of the first things that developed with exposure to electricity was a new disorder. They called it neurasthenia. This was in the 1800s, but even back into the development of history, and this is what I was working on all this time, that with the history and through this book, even in the 1700s, when people first started to work with electricity, there were a lot of physical effects, and a lot of the people that first started experimenting with it had to stop, or they developed tremors, or they had this neurasthenia, which is now we call it anxiety disorder, or we even call it fibromyalgia. For a long time, people said they had nervous breakdowns. We were calling it nervous breakdowns. When Freud, it was considered a physical disease, and then Freud called it psychological. Around 1900, Freud relabeled it. So then we started having all these people that we call crazy or nervous breakdowns or anxiety, but it looks like it was actually most of these anxiety symptoms we have may be linked to actually the electrification level that we're at now.
Yeah, and when you say electrical, she's talking about the EMF that comes off of
right
like a transformer. Right. That's how a transformer works. You've got a coil of wire, and the electricity goes through there, and you got a different rate of wrap or what a different size and stuff of another coil of wire, and that invisible induction across that gives you, like, you got 120 in and you might get 100 out or whatever it's designed to do, but that there's a physical effect that happens over an air gap because of the EMF that comes off of that current mm-hmm. moving in the wire. And that goes an omnidirectional. It goes everywhere. So, you know, we're all exposed to that. And right. going back, you know, talking about we could take some of these conditions that we've continually treated with pharmaceuticals. And if you trace it back and say, well, maybe it has to do with the electrical EMF fields that we're bathed in. There's some credibility to that when you look at where they're moving away from pharmaceuticals into what they call electroceuticals. And they're trying to treat these things with the same thing. So if you can treat it with it, then it's possible it caused the problem in the first place. It's a real possibility. And because it's so many different problems, let me pull this back up again. Again, I finally found it here. This is your 2.85 gigahertz. Three times per week. These are exposing rats, right? Three times per week for up to 6 weeks. So only three times a week. And it increased the hippocampus, whatever the heck that is, from 28 days to 2 months at 30, whatever. It's a bunch of technical jargon, but it's causing an effect. And this is the same frequency we're talking about with cell phones and 5G and stuff like that. But
there were quite a bit of, there was a lot of studies that showed that after when the Roosevelt had a program to bring electricity through rural America in the 30s and 40s, and there's a book called Dirty Electricity that has charts mm-hmm. that show that in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the decades after we started to get electricity throughout the country, the rates of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease increased 5 times.
Yeah.
And they were very rare before we put electricity throughout the nation. And each time we went from telegraph to radio to radar.
Let's get into that. You have a presentation on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would like to see what the rise of cancer as the electricity, you know, the use of electricity rose and rose. What's the frequency of the rise of cancer to go?
Well, it's just hard to peg it down because we also have food problems. We have all kinds of exposure to stuff. So we're exposed to so many things. It's possible that everything in combination is causing these. It's not just the 5G. It's not just the GMOs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so let's say the early 1900s when electricity started getting more and more houses, I would like to see what the cancer cases were then, you know, before all this other stuff started kicking in and just see that rise. I guarantee you it's got
to. Well, it's going to have to happen because even looking, you know, the reason I brought that paper up is just to show the different frequencies and the various effects it has on the brain. Okay. And whatever the chemical makeup in the brain, which can lead to other problems, physical problems as well. And the exposure was very limited. You know, you're talking 15 minutes, three times a week. You know, for a few weeks.
I heard recently that if you expose a baby to a cell phone just for 10 or 20 minutes, it'll take many, many hours for their brain activity to go back to baseline. A long time. That's
interesting. Well, hey, let's get into your presentation. I try to blow through this fast. We probably should have made this a two-part episode, but I know Tiger just did one with Vince and Rhonda. That was pretty good on EMF. So this is just going to be kind of like the compliment that show he did.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about doing it for a while. Huh?
So huge. This huge topic's huge.
So go ahead and share your screen with me, Karen, and I'll throw it up and you can go through your presentation.
Oh, present. Okay. Let me figure this out.
Present, share screen. While you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead and show two more things.
Okay.
Okay. You can go ahead and get that up there and I'll just keep the audience engaged. So right here, this is Starlink. And this is where my concern is, you know, and going through the research, it's a lot of it has to do with the power level, but mostly it's duration and distance. That's when you get into the danger levels and all their safety quotes, you know, when they say it's safe or whatever, well, this one frequency for this one application is safe if you stay 154 feet away and you're only exposed for 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? But look at this. This is Starlink. Now, this big line you see here going way out to the what says GeoSat. That is our geo stationary satellites, our typical satellites. Okay. This one right here, this is where a Starlink sits. Mm-hmm. And remember, they're running those frequencies that are dangerous, that can cook hot dogs, you know, right around that frequency.
And there are thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yes,
and I'll read it. Like 14,000 of them.
Yeah.
I want to read
this. So basically, they're building a microwave oven around Earth.
Exactly. Yeah,
so it's a new shell of frequency.
Beamed directly, and it's directional. It's beamed at the Earth. You know, it's not like an omnidirectional, like an FM antenna or an AM antenna that weakens very rapidly. It's actually very focused. So it says here, most satellite internet services come from a single geostationary satellite. Okay. And it talks that it's out there at 35,786 kilometers. Okay. And then it talks about the round trip data. It's slow, you know. However, Starlink is a constellation of thousands of satellites that orbit the planet much closer to Earth, about 550 kilometers, and cover the entire globe. Because Starlink satellites are in a low orbit, latency is significantly lower, around 25 milliseconds versus 600 plus milliseconds. So the takeaway from that is, if we talk about distance and duration, the Starlink is much, much closer. There's many more satellites, many, many more, and it's beaming you all the time. Whether you're tuned into it or not, you're still being, it's like an FM radio. If I don't tune into my favorite radio station, if I turn the radio off, I'm still getting hit with that. I'm just not tuning mm-hmm. into it, but right. it's still hitting me at the same exact power level. Then you go into this 5G. This is a map of where this is a 5G tracker. You go to speedtest.net. They actually have where all the 5G is. Now it doesn't look too bad, right? No, let me zoom in. Let's go ahead and zoom in and see how much. Again, distance and duration. Look at all these 5G towers. Look. And this is just a random place. I believe I'm zoomed into Kansas right now somewhere. Look at that. The further you zoom in, the more towers you see. So you're not only getting it from Starlink, you're getting it from the 5G towers. And that's a lot. So now your duration is like always, and your distance is much closer on both ends of it. So as we go through your presentation, I want people to keep that in mind. That distance and duration, they've increased the duration and reduced the distance. So whatever effects you talk about that we've historically seen, you can expect to see that go up. And I got you right here, Karen.
Definitely. Okay. So this is just a little brief summary or skim through highlights of the Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, written, published in 2016. And he was a medical student, and he needed a lot of dental work. He got a lot of dental x-rays, and he became disabled from the effects of the radiation from the medical equipment, the x-rays. He couldn't participate in surgery anymore, and ended up writing a paper in exchange for his time in the operating room as a student. And he wrote it about started basically the research for this book. And that was back in the 80s. So it's just the history of electricity and life is the subtitle. So in 1746, Leyden started working. He started working with static electricity, and you put your hands around it with a ball inside and spin with water, and you get a lot of static electricity. So that became very, very popular, to experiment with static electricity, to shock each other at cocktail parties. So you could picture the people in their Victorian garb shocking each other. And it was the in thing. When they would
remember corduroy pants in school, and you'd rub them and then shock the guy.
Yeah,
in front of you.
All around Europe, and then fairly quickly it got to America, and that was really got to be all the rage, was to and do experiments with these and people got hurt. A lot of people got hurt. So that was called a Leyden jar, which is a form of a capacitor. And then this is Luigi Galvani, and he, in the mid 1700s, he ran some electrical current, just sparks to dead frog legs, and he noticed that he could make the legs jump. So people became fascinated with the idea of revivification through electricity, and that one of his nephews was talking about the experiment, and that Mary Shelley overheard that, and that's what inspired Frankenstein. So there was kind of like a controversy between Galvani and another physicist named Volta. And he's the one who developed the first battery just before 1800. He showed it to Napoleon, and he was using salt water soaked cloth in between discs of zinc and copper. And he could actually sustain currents.
Mm-hmm. It's they got something like that. You can actually make it's called an air battery. It's zinc, copper alternating, and then you just get some kind of electrolyte. And yeah, it'll make a current. I've played around with that before.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I think that the takeaway, now you're talking about electricity, mm-hmm. but the EMF, when you talk about it being induced, can put electricity in you, mm-hmm. right? Like in our nervous systems are electrical.
Right.
So, yeah.
So there was that's why you feel the shock. Or you have the heartbeat symptoms.
If you got a pacemaker, you're not supposed to go near a industrial microwave.
Right.
It'll induce that current and fry the pacemaker.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yep. Being working around induction furnaces constantly, anybody with, stents or pacemakers 30 feet away.
Huh.
Yeah. Even wearing if you wear a ring on your finger, gold ring, it'll get warm after a while.
So that's real quick. Induction furnace. That's kind of important to note when we talk about heating up the brain while talking on a cell phone, or being bathed in a really strong EMF field. Tell us how an induction furnace works. It melts steel. Just so people know, it melts
through
steel.
Through electromagnetic induction into the steel. So you can imagine, the amount of power it takes to, we have them from 15 kW all the way up to 10,000.
So is it heating elements or how does it?
It's a copper coil.
Okay.
Wrapped around depending on the type of metal you're melting and the capacity and all that. So you have a lining, refractory lining, and then all your metal goes in and it just heats directly to the metal. It's the quickest way to melt metal that there is.
Yep. Well, so it's kind of like your
job all the time.
Some of your glass top stoves,
some are now induction. Your home stoves are
right. It doesn't heat the stove surface up. It heats the pan up through the EMF. It's basically EMF they're throwing up in the pan because it's metal. It's conductive. And there's certain pans that don't work well or don't work at all on those type of stoves. But I'm not talking about a heating element that gets hot. I'm talking about induction of current from one thing to another thing, and then that causes heat.
Transferring energy.
Yes, transferring energy. And I got something on that if we get to it, that's going to be, I call it the trifecta. You've got the Starlink satellite we're getting beamed from space. You have the local ones, which is your 5G towers, and then you're going to have wireless transmission of electricity, which is going, they're testing it right now in New Zealand.
They also want to do it through light bulbs. Which is
I got some stuff on that too. If we
absolutely
get
awful.
Yeah, that's what Tesla was working on too. Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, he was trying to transmit wires.
Yeah. So there began to be a lot of medical experiments, and some people were actually able to help deaf people hear and relieve pain. And usually, it was with small amounts of exposure for a short period of time that you could see good results. But then a lot of people. Really went wacko and just to the extreme with it and did a lot of really things that were very harmful. So there was a lot of harm visible right away when people started adding electricity to their bodies. There was some helps, but it wasn't understood well enough and it wasn't used in moderation. And then we know about electroshock therapy and things like that. So this is just, you had various forms of experimentation going on, and a lot of the people experimenting did have negative effects and wrote back and forth to each other that they needed to stop.
So, they weren't actually getting shocked with the electricity. It's just being around the magnetic field, right?
Right.
Making them tick. Okay.
Right. But some people did get shocked. I mean, they were shocking themselves and other people. So the telegraph was developed in the 1840s. So as more and more telegraph lines were deployed, you saw a lot of the telegraphers getting sick or having these symptoms, headaches and mood swings and the nervousness. And it was called neurasthenia. It was a new disorder that a lot of people started to have, just a very tired, sleeplessness, sleep disturbances, appetite disturbances, a lot of the things we complain about these days. So you started to see this a lot among the people working with the electricity coming through the telegraph wires, but also in the general public, you started to see it more too. So they called it neurasthenia. And then in 1878, telephone lines started to be installed. So you also had a lot of health problems amongst the people who worked with the telephones a lot. And then we had Tesla, who invented alternating current in 1889, and it was adopted by Westinghouse. And so they started running electrical lines with alternating current fairly quickly. And in 1889 is when you saw your first modern big flu epidemic.
So real quick, the AC, the way alternating current works is, so in a DC circuit, you have a positive potential of, you know, you, like more electrons over here and less over here. So when you connect those together, they want to flow and balance out. So it is a one-way flow of electrons. When you talk about alternating current, what happens is the poles are flipping back and forth, so the electrons actually just wiggling back and forth. Okay, that's when we get into stuff like when we looked at that spectrum, when you looked at the waveform. Okay, it is going positive, negative, and depending on how fast that happens, that's your frequency. Okay, so
and so 60 reversals,
60 hertz
is, yep, 60 hertz in 1 second, right? And yep, that's what most houses here are run on. And then in the UK, it's 50 hertz, right? I think it's 50. But that's, I think, from my understanding, you probably know better, it's the oscillation that's actually,
that's the danger.
So harmful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the danger, because that oscillation causes things within its inductance field to also oscillate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stand under a power line, and you could do this, if you take a neodymium magnet, which I have one here somewhere, if you put it near an outlet, you can actually feel it vibrating, because it's trying to like match those poles. So you can feel it oscillating at that 60 hertz. Now, yeah, I don't know, I'm pretty sure it's still 60 on, I know the high voltage power lines, they ramp it up to a really high voltage. So that's why that inductance goes further. And like I said, there were studies that linked to cancer and brain deficiencies of people who lived under a power line, but they said, no, we did a study, and as long as you're 164 feet away, we think it's safe. But, you know, distance, like I said, distance and duration. If you live right under the power lines, you're not 164 feet away, you know.
And you're constantly there.
You're constantly there. And that's what we're seeing come into play with the, yes, it is a lower power, but it's constant.
Right.
And that's your Starlink, that's your 5G, and soon to be, they're going to be wirelessly transmitting power. That's the trifecta of what's going to, and I believe it is making us sick.
Absolutely. Know? There's no doubt about it. If you take people away, well, we all know that just by getting ourselves back out in nature a bit, grounding and getting away from it, or shielding a room, or kids with autism, if you can get them away from the Wi-Fi, a lot of them improve. We can prove it for ourselves. So anyway, Edison and Tesla had a bit of controversy between themselves. And apparently Edison tried to prove that a alternating current was dangerous and it electrocuted an elephant in 1903. So there's Freud. Freud's the one who came along and decided all of these effects that seem to be from the increased electromagnetic fields from the telegraph and the phone lines and then the electrical lines. He started said that, oh, people are just not thinking straight. It's disordered thoughts and psychoanalysis. And we all have our opinions about psychology and what they did with that. So that was around the turn of the century also. So it became called a lot of other things besides neurasthenia and blamed on a lot of other causes, mostly psychological. And then, of course, they started pushing the pharmaceutical drugs also for sleeping and for nerves and for appetite and all sorts of
things. And, you know, when people go out there and say, you know, they're going to mind control you with 5G, I don't think they're going to, like, make you, like, turn you into a robot where you get a Logitech gamepad like the submarine had, you know, and they're going to drive you around. But what you're talking about here is you're getting some kind of an illness because of the increased EMF that we're living in day to day. You're going to have, mental diseases and stuff like that. But then they give you the pharmaceuticals. That's the mind control. That's the mind control because, you know, it's obvious that, the EMF can shift your mood. It can't exactly control what you do, but it can control how you feel. And then they can give you some SSRIs.
A lot of those have fluoride in them. A lot of medications have fluoride in them now.
Yeah, it's all seems to work together to be a perfect plan to destroy, you know.
Absolutely.
What makes us human, you know?
Catherine Austin Fitz calls it the great poisoning. And that's, to me, that's what it is. It's from all angles, the great poisoning. So this is just a typical city in the early 1900s as the electrical wires, I mean, people really went for it. And in 1889, that was the first big influenza epidemic in modern times. Then we had World War One, and Marconi is a pretty interesting story. He had done, and you probably know more about this too than I do, but he did a lot of interesting studies with radio. He was on the Isle of Wight, which is where David Icke lives, and he had ELF towers there, and I think he had four of them. And
ELF is not good. It is not good for you. It's worse than the higher frequency
or radio stuff. Towers. Yeah. And he had all kinds of health issues, but the bees disappeared just on the Isle of Wight. So there was evidence there that the bees couldn't thrive with the.
So Tom Cooper talked about that recently. One of his shows he did. He was saying something about how bees actually fly. As they don't get lift from their wings, they vibrate them in it. And it was, what's his name? His name is slipping my mind now, but he played around and he was able to levitate things like cannonballs and stuff using frequencies. It's the something effect. I remembered it the other day. I was talking to Tiger about it and I remember his name. Hutchinson, that's what it was. He's a real eccentric guy. I think he was a Canadian. The military actually hired him out. And he was taking old Navy equipment and just bombarding things with these frequencies and was able to make things levitate. He was able to make things like wood and steel mixed together. So he was throwing off that vibration. And if what Tom says is true about how bees fly, where they create this bubble of a vibration around them, if the ELF messed with that and they can't fly, they probably just all died.
I think their sense of direction is also tied in with that. Mm-hmm. There's people that speculate that that's a type of technology that would may have been used to build things like the pyramids, but that's a whole nother.
Coral Castle. Look at the guy who built Coral Castle.
Yeah. Just
thinking the exact same thing.
Yep.
So then we had World War One, and that was when radio was spread widely. They laid cables for submarines, and the military used a lot of radios, and then people after the war, around the time of the war, after the war, the people started getting radios. So you had a lot more of that particular wavelength around people. And then we had the Spanish flu, and he goes through evidence. He says ties it directly to the radio, the installation of the radio.
Well, so, the thing about the radio, when we started putting up AM radio towers and later FM towers, that was when it wasn't your choice to be bathed in it. Everything else was like you had to be right there near it, you know, near a power line, near a telegraph. But once they started doing radio, like everyone's getting hit with it now. And it just depends on how far from the tower you are as to your exposure, you know. So that was kind of a landmark thing that Now the entire, pretty much the whole globe or anything close to a populated area was being 24/7 bombarded.
And I think that's when the first time you had airplanes with radar that could also broadcast that type of thing. So then after that, in the 30s and we had 30s and 40s, we had President Roosevelt, and he did rural electrification program. And that's when a lot of people, I remember, you know, my mom talks about when her grandma in Oklahoma got electricity in the 50s. So there's a book called Dirty Electricity here, written by Samuel Milman. And he has charts like Angus was talking about that show the differences in cancer rates, diabetes rates, and heart disease rates after electricity was brought into an area as opposed to before.
And quick question. Has anybody gone into, and this kind of is making me think about fertility rates as well. Your first world nations are in like major population decline. Our fertility rates are in, like, we can't even sustain our own populations anymore because you have to have what, 2 kids per couple.
2 point something.
Yeah, 2 point something because you have a death rate as well. But we're below that in most Western nations. But if you go into these third world countries, you would expect to see, you know, that they're sick and this and that and the other. But no, their fertility rates are high, way, way higher than ours. And it would be interesting to take a look at things like cancer and heart disease and mental illness and things. It'd be interesting to see if they're not getting it because they're not exposed. Well, now they're going to be exposed.
You're going to say with Starlink, they're going to be exposed.
Yeah, Starlink. And then you got the 50 and 5 thing they just kicked off, which is, 50 nations in 5 years, they want to digitize, which means 5G towers. And they want to do that for the purpose of CBDC and banking. That's why they want to do it.
There's going to be nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Yeah, well, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
They need 5G for the Internet of Things, for automation and everything.
Yep. Yeah, track and trace, control. Yep.
So then we got to this civil defense radar in 1957, 58, and we had another flu epidemic. So every time there's been an uptick in the radiation levels from all these different parts of the EMF spectrum, there has been health effects that seem to be traceable. Now, there are other things going on too. We're introducing pesticides where and it is also highly correlated with sunspot activity. So that's true also. That seems to be true also. And there's a lot of details about that too. That's the radar. So then you had the, in 1968, the amount of satellites that were doubled, military satellites. There weren't very many then, but they doubled them in 68. And then you had the Hong Kong flu in 68. And then 1985, this is, there was a book written called The Body Electric by Robert O. Becker. And that's a great book. And he really started to look in at the electrical nature of nerves and different tissues in our body and the electrical, how electricity is directly involved with all the processes that we have with the amino acids and with making food, using glucose, properly digesting fats, properly using oxygen. So it looks like, or there's a theory that the reason you see so much increase in cancer and heart disease and diabetes is that our bodies don't properly digest. We aren't able to use the glucose properly. So you get glucose buildup. The same thing, you get anaerobic glycolysis, which is you end up having to use the glucose. You're not using your oxygen efficiently, and cancer tends to appear when there's a lack of oxygen. Now, parasites also like a lack of oxygen. And there's a lot of people that think parasites and cancer are both linked. And so if you can't use your oxygen, you're not oxygenating your cells well, which is pH, alkaline and base, is actually just the presence of oxygen or positive ions. A lot of us who are into studying the cancer and treating or preventing cancer talk about keeping alkaline. Well, that's keeping your body oxygenated with a positive charge. So,
you know, it's interesting because you're talking about anaerobic, you know, we have something called a VO2 max, which is when your body is pulling from that anaerobic energy system before it moves into the aerobic. And the anaerobic is where it's just basically using directly the energy and the oxygen. But then once you've used that up, then you have to move into the aerobic, which is a different energy system that your body uses. I saw you going for like a 3 mile run or a 4 mile run or whatever, but your anaerobic is going to be for like your explosive power and, you know, power on demand. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing we do to see what our VO2 max is. And you can work on increasing it, by the way. You can, there's ways to do that. But it's called a beep test where you run back and forth and the duration gets less and less and less between your pauses. And I noticed before I got done with the Army, everyone's VO2 max or their beep test, you know, the results of the beep test, they just sucked. They couldn't go to like level 6 or level 7 or whatever anymore. And that was after the 5G rollout and everything. And I figured it was because of COVID, and people were supposed to be doing PT on their own that weren't coming to work, and they probably weren't doing it. So they lost a little bit of that, you know, that oomph. They have to get back into shape, but there could be something to the rollout of 5G at the same time as well. Might have affected our VO2 max. So,
and there are people who say that 5G was deployed in various spots where we saw these clusters of cases on the cruise line, the cruise ship. There was 5G in Wuhan. 5G had been recently deployed in New York City. It had been recently deployed. So that was,
and you know, the symptoms of COVID, remember everybody had no taste and this and that. Those are the same things that come from radiation poisoning.
Right.
And then once your body gets used to it, you overcome that. And that's why a lot of people think it's tied together, which, I mean, you look at all these other things you just linked together, you know, the start of electricity in one place in 5 years, the cancer and heart mm-hmm. problems start going up 5 times. And
so another doctor I really like is Dr. Jerry Tennant, and he wrote a book called Healing is Voltage, and he goes into how the circuitry of the body works. We've got the meridians, the acupuncture meridians, they're electrical circuits, and they run through our teeth, and so that's why root canals are such a problem. That's your circuit breaker, and so that's Dr. Jerry Tennant. I really like his work. I learned a lot from him. And we're in a closed system. You guys could probably discuss that better than I could, but it's a closed cycle and a closed system. And when we introduce all of these extra frequencies, we're just disrupting everything. And the same thing with the energy from the sun and the different layers of the atmosphere. They all have a purpose. All work together.
My thing is, and I was reading about, the Starlink, and, you know, we talk about weather modification and stuff. It's actually funny because I was reading something up on Starlink, how Starlink wanted to use their satellites to manipulate the weather. And they were told they couldn't do it because it might interfere with ongoing weather manipulation. So they inadvertently had admitted that they're modifying the weather, probably through HARP or some other thing, you know. And there's been links to, you know, research of using EM to modify weather. And anyway, my concern is this. We have an electromagnetic field around the Earth that protects us from a lot of radiation from the sun and stuff like that.
It's a shield.
It is a shield. And if we start messing with a lot, you know, just based ourselves in EM, that's got to have some sort of effect on our field. And could that be what causes the weather modification, you know, like causing a man-made global warming, literally man-made through EM?
Saw that when we were talking about CERN. There was that when they fired that thing up, there was a rip in the field, and it allows more radiation in from the sun and everything. And I mean, so you think about it, like you're saying with Starlink, not to be funny about it, but so if you're constantly bombarding the Earth with microwave, I mean, again, you're changing the climate, mm-hmm. because radiation is just going to keep warming it more.
And you're affecting the plants. You're affecting the the oceans, the plants in the oceans, the animals.
At a bare minimum, from the research I looked at, it affects brain chemistry. At a bare minimum, they've proven this with rats. And this was very limited exposure, very, very limited, you know, 3 times a week, 15 minutes, whatever. So that's what my concern is. A lot of this stuff probably is linked or partially linked to the EM, like with the health problems and stuff. But at a bare minimum, we know that our mental abilities are going to be messed with. We know this for a fact. It's just to what degree.
And so many of us have brain fog. We can't find our words. We don't remember like we used to. We can't concentrate. And we can't sleep. Mm-hmm. So we had our first wireless cell phone towers deployed in 1996, November 14th in New York City. And around that time, a little bit later, the FCC gained tremendous power. The wireless companies are the only other enterprise besides the vaccine companies that can't be sued for causing harm. They've got a blanket immunity. So this clause was added onto a bill to regulate for the FCC's regulations of the telecom companies, that no state or local government or instrumentality thereof may regulate the environmental effects of radio frequency radiation to the effect that it complies with the Federal Communication Commission's regulation. Well, the Federal Communications Commission does not have any health experts setting standards. Our standards for radiation are much higher. We allow much, much more than most countries around the world. They say they haven't studied the effects of these different types of electromagnetic radiation, but there are thousands and thousands of papers that do.
And real quick, just like the vaccine industry wanted that, you know, that not a loophole, what do you call it, immunity,
right? Yeah,
because they knew there was dangers. They knew it. Right. That's why. Otherwise, why would you need it, right? Well, right here, the fact that they even put this in lets us know that they knew there was potentially problems. If not, there are problems. And this is back before we're bombarded as hard as we are now with EMF. They were concerned enough that they had to put an exemption in.
Yeah, 1995, 1996.
Yep.
That happened.
Interesting.
It went into to be voted on, and when it came out of committee, it had this line in it. And they think a lot of people didn't realize that this was going to mean that you can't take health considerations into effect, because it doesn't use the word health. And then it says that cities that do set regulations with health in mind, they can be sued. So there are ways around it. I've heard people discuss this, that you can, a citizen can actually go and talk to their city council about it. You can talk about it, but they need to get around it with permits and things. There's back doors that local governments can use to actually regulate themselves where these towers go to some degree, but they have to do it in a way that it doesn't look like they're doing it for health. They're doing it because of cosmetics or other reasons
why they want, like, making a tower look like a fake tree or whatever.
Right. Yeah, right.
About that. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So these are just some graphics going along with what you were showing, that with the Internet of Things, all of the satellites, total coverage, a blanket around the earth of this artificial frequency. We evolved, or were created, or what, we've adapted, we've lived, we thrive and flourish in a certain frequency and a certain environment electromagnetically, and to change the whole thing is disastrous for not just for us, but for all living creatures.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we grew up in a specific environment that we are modifying. And
right.
Yeah.
And we do adapt to a certain degree, but it takes a long time. And what will it do to our children, if we are even able to have children? So with the 5G, this is just an example of how every time anybody using any device, it's an antenna. It's receiving and sending a signal there's in some of the Internet of Things, in some of the when you sign your terms of service, you're agreeing to allow them to use your, like Angus was saying, to use your device as a relay. They're using your phone as a relay. They're using your router in your house as a relay. I think Amazon wanted people to agree to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So these are just some slides, just kind of illustrating what we're all
being bathed constantly.
Yeah, what we've all been talking about here. This is a graph of how when there's a spike in sun activity, there tends to be a spike in global illness.
Interesting.
And there's a lot about that in the book. This was to remind me about that there have been experiments done with bees, and 10-minute exposure to a cell phone does what you're talking about, Jason. It messes up the bees' metabolism. Their hemoglobin is our blood, and it becomes overloaded with sugars, and you know, they can't digest their food properly, and they can't use the food. They can't break it down. So well,
if the bees go away, life on this planet goes away.
Right. As the bees go, so do we. Yep. And then also there was a man named Bose. He was an Indian scientist. Not the Bose with the speakers, but he did a lot of work with plants. And he's kind of known for talking to plants. And so he showed the effects that it also has, EMFs have on plants. They don't do well with it either. And I think that's about it. Oh, there are a lot of people that are really struggling because of the effects of all this radiation. The author of the book, he estimated there were several million worldwide who can't stay in their cities or their homes, and they're just kind of camping refugees. A lot of them end up killing themselves. Of course, they're told they're crazy. It's all in their head. They have fibromyalgia, or they have, you know, that they have some depression or anxiety disorder. So there are a lot of people that are struggling. And then that's just we can leave it there or go to something else.
Yeah, I know this radio sickness. I got it one time in the Army. I went to work on it was a satellite transmitter, like the big dish. And it was inside one of those balls that keep it protected from the weather. And somebody had gone in there and was doing some maintenance, and they took the plug that carried all the wires down to the auto track. Because, you know, the satellites aren't geosynchronous. They kind of move. So this thing would have to track it all day long, and then it would go back and pick up the next one and track it. And when they put it back together, and I don't know how they did this, because the thing was keyed. You know, it had like one corner was like angled slightly, so you couldn't put it together wrong, but they put it together wrong and forced it together. It just so happened that the main power and the ground were catty corner from each other. So when they put it back together wrong, they directly shorted it out and fried the wires. So they had me go in there and rewire a new connector, and I couldn't be in there, even though that thing was focused up towards the sky. It just had a little bit of scatter from that radome, and that was enough to make me sick within 2 or 3 minutes. My skin would turn bright red. And I talked to Dr. LaGuardia about it, and he said it was, you know, radiation poisoning, you know, EMF radiation poisoning. And because I would leave, and then 10 minutes later, I'd go back in, work for a few more minutes, and then leave again. And that was, you know, sometimes I feel like that now. I think we're just, you know, not to that degree. But I feel like that, especially if I'm around, you know, in a city, I'll get that way. My skin will feel hot, you know.
I get that once in a while.
Well, gingers, and this was told to us when I was in school learning the microwave stuff. They said gingers are the most susceptible. We're like the canary in the coal mine. If you see it, you know, if you're in one of these facilities and you see a ginger turn bright red, you get out of there because you have a leak somewhere in one of your waveguides and you're getting irradiated.
Interesting.
So it was in our books, you know, so it's definitely a thing. And these books were back from like the 60s. So yeah. They knew about this back then. You know,
I think Russia studied this quite a bit. It was studied quite a bit in Russia. And there were textbooks talking about it. But it's hard to get a hold of the textbooks or to get them translated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the using EMF directed as a weapon is actually considered a directed energy weapon, you know, and they've even proven that they could take like they can't make a hurricane. And I read papers on this because they were talking about being able to steer hurricanes away from, say, Florida, just steer them out into the ocean. And all you've got to do is point enough satellites, like Starlink satellites, at a portion of the ocean and heat that that surface temperature up by only a couple degrees. That's it. And that will change the air pressure and all that around. And it will, you'll be able to steer a hurricane away. Now, I would argue that they want to steer it to a populated area to prove their climate change nonsense. You know we have the technology.
I would agree.
I read about this years ago before Starlink was a thing. So maybe we didn't have enough satellites back then, but we surely do now. And even Elon was talking about wanting to use Starlink to modify the weather, you know? So, and it's basically a directed energy weapon when used that way.
So I think they've got ample equipment now to cause symptoms whenever they choose. In different areas with these so many towers and satellites, just a little change can cause different symptoms, from my understanding.
Well, and the frequencies as well, whatever it's working on. Right. Going back to that paper I looked at, they tried all these different frequencies on these rats, and depending on the frequency and the duration, they had different health problems.
Barry Trower worked in British intelligence and in electromagnetic areas in and he has done a lot of talks and done a lot of work and is trying to help people a lot, the best he can. He's older now, but he talks about how the every frequency, it's known exactly what it will do as far as symptom wise. It can cause you to smell something, taste something, hear something, feel something, have a certain symptom. I think they used it in 5G as for active denial, didn't they, in Iraq?
I don't know.
And they also had Voice of God technology in Iraq they used, and that's the Iraqis supposedly surrendered.
Supposedly they were going to use that in Waco. That's how far back that goes.
Yeah. And then there was also Crimson Mist in Rwanda, where they got people to that big genocide uprising they had where tribes were warring. Supposedly, that I think it was Operation Crimson Mist. That these things have been used and tested, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, we need to look these up. But I think they did do that in Iraq, had active denial.
I had heard about that. I don't know the validity of it or not. But I have heard that, you know, Voice of God stuff and all that. I've heard about that. I know that if they can't do it, they've tried. I know that. So they must think the technology is possible. And again, it all comes down to EMF. Everything is EMF. And that's why I showed that video at the beginning, because even your light, your ultraviolet light, your sound, visual light, it's all the same thing. It just depends on the frequency.
And there's a lot of us that are using infrared for healing. There's infrared saunas, a lot of infrared mats that you lay on. There's a pulsed frequency devices now. And, you know, some of them could probably cause more problems, especially if you don't check them out and make sure that they're functioning properly and not just throwing off dirty electricity. But there's a lot of things that people use now, especially the infrared frequencies that I know of.
That some of those spectrums are responsible for creating vitamin D. We can't see it with our eyes, but if I think there are some animals that they say can see that spectrum. You know, they see a little bit different spectrum than we do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I read that too.
We need to get up out of here soon. What else do you got for us?
That's it. You want to do shout outs?
Yeah, I'll do that in 1 second. I just want to go to this last piece. Since we went long, not too terribly long. Let me go ahead and add this to the stage. So this is what I was talking about. They're trying to do the Tesla thing, wireless transmission of electricity. He was using a Tesla coil that would have put it out omnidirectional. This is more of a focused. And you can see here in this picture, they got a little tower right here. It's basically the same thing as our point-to-point radio. It's just a different frequency and higher power, much higher power. And then they have a receiver on this end that will take and turn that back into electricity. But it's just basically taking electricity, make an EMF, shoot the EMF over this thing that turns it back into electricity. Where is it at? Yeah, it talks about Tesla, Tesla coil and blah, blah, blah. But this is going to be all around us at some point. They're going to do away with the power lines, and they're going to say that that's going to be better. That's when they'll come out and they'll finally say, well, there's health effects to having power lines. And then they'll push this. Wait for that to come. I guarantee you that will
come. So there will be those of us who will try to wire our power in our own home. Probably. Yeah. to wire the internet, or we do.
But once they've got us bathed in this, and this is where they want to go with it. This is what they want to look at. They're looking at wearables and all these devices, your phone, basically wireless charging for everything. Hmm. No more wires. I'm trying to find this graphic. I think it was there.
So you won't have to plug your Tesla in then?
Yeah. But
I'm very confused how all this works.
How are you going to charge us for all of this if we have the meters installed in our bodies to know how much we're using?
Check it out. WPT for drones, e-mobility, and communications. They're also talking about wearable devices. So you're going to be basically bathed in a transformer. Like these wireless things will be the one end of the transformer, creating this field that we live in, this very strong field that's capable of a device, you know, pretty far away to be able to pick up that field and turn it back into electricity. But we're going to be living in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they're going to go with it. And this probably has a lot to do with transhumanism.
Yeah.
When people start getting brain chips and things like that.
Nanobots.
But what they don't understand, if you think about the green energy nonsense, it is so inefficient. It is so inefficient. You're using all this power to generate a field, and then something over there, there's going to be so much loss. Using a line is a lot better for efficiency. So it's crazy. But I think that's why they're trying to do this 50 and 5. They're trying to get all this EMF on us, and they're trying to do wireless transmission of power. They've even talked about, I've seen this years ago, several years ago, they were talking about putting transformers in the road, and then your car, rather than have a battery, or might have a battery as a buffer, but it would charge as it's driving wirelessly, kind of like you can set your phone on one of those mats. You know how inefficient that is? Number one, an EV car is not efficient already, because you charge it, you lose some in the charging process, the battery loses it naturally. It's just not efficient. Now you're going to charge it wirelessly as you're driving. This is how you know that their green energy is nonsense, because they're going to stuff that is way, way inefficient, way more, consumes way, way more power. They can't do it without coal and natural gas and all that stuff. So hopefully they'll shoot themselves in the foot and won't be able to execute this. We'll be living in a sea of EMF that's going to make everybody go freaking nuts.
Yeah, I don't think I'll make it.
Jason,
we're not going to make it, Brad, Jason.
I think they've already started this technology.
I don't know how they plan on powering it because they won't be able to do it with solar and wind. No,
wireless. Because remember, I always tell you, I don't see any wires in wind turbines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. No wires.
So maybe they're already doing it. And the solar fields are where they're sending it.
Let me see if there was anything else. You had sent me some videos. Now, let me do shout outs and we'll do plugs and we'll get everybody out of here.
Yeah, we can get into all of the Internet of Things and the nodes and the microscopic biological parts sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. The Internet of Things
goes way off into
Internet of Bodies now. So yeah, they want to make you one of the things on the Internet of Things.
And I sent you a couple of videos on that too.
Yeah, we had four videos queued up, but we would be here another whole hour on notes. But yeah, so let me see who's in the chat here. I've been writing them down so I wouldn't miss anybody. If good I miss you, I
you're
apologize.
So efficient.
So organized. Harps is the first one. G'day, Harps, out in Australia. Assyrian girl was there. Guard was there. What's up, Guard? Had a great time on Thursday doing our Name That Tune. That was fun.
It wasn't long enough.
I know. It went fast. Patrick the Plumber was in there. Lord Raul was in there. Angry Tiger. What's up, Tiger? Brian Deb McCartney, Little John, and Chris Graves. That's who I saw. If I missed anybody.
Hi, everybody.
Assyrian girl is in there.
Yep. And AG and Deb seem to know a lot on this topic. Maybe we missed an opportunity to have them come in with us, but maybe sometime in the future. But anyways, let's get back to the thing and we'll get us out of here. So check this out. Tiger has a website now. The cool. Tiger's Den. Yep, he's got a website. He's working on it. Oh, cool. He put this in here. Nice. He's on all the same platforms that we got Knights of the Storm. Oh, yeah, by the way, Knights of the Storm now is on all these different platforms if you want to listen to the audio. And just go here. It's at the bottom of every screen. And then go check out the knightsofthestorm.com. And you go to our little friends tab here. We got David, the heavy hitter, right up top. America Unplugged, they come on in about 40 minutes on Rockfin. You can get to the links here. All these different folks. Chris Graves. Chris, let me know if I updated this. I think I did update this. And then all of our friends here. And then, of course, Wise Wolf. Tony mentioned on his show last night he wants to sponsor the show. So we always promote him anyway. Awesome. But if he's willing to do a coupon code or something under our show, that's great. We'll do that. But we always promote Tony. I do the Wolf Pack. I do the 125 a month one. I used to do the 50 a month one. But the 125, I've been getting a little 1 ounce. Not 1 ounce. I wish it was 1 ounce. Yeah, 1 gram gold bar every month so far. So I know he's got a lot of that fractional gold. I like the silver myself, but it's cool to have a little gold too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's about it. Let's go with Angus. Where can people find you?
Every other week on Event Horizon on Rumble. Here on Knights of the Storm occasionally. And
yeah.
Anywhere where you need a furnace to melt metal, you will find me.
Nice. All right, Karen.
Oh, I'm on Twitter, KRCARPE27, but I'm pretty low key. I like to chat in the chat room and watch different people.
Yeah, I want to thank you for putting that together. That's a lot of good history on electricity and the EMF, the problems from the EMF from the electricity. That yes, it's correlation. You can say correlation is not causation, but when you get enough correlation, that warrants more study.
I think all the increased and or changed electromagnetic frequencies allow the other elements of poison or disruption to work better, like that they disrupt the blood-brain barrier, the frequencies that disrupt the blood-brain barrier, so things can get through metals and things. So I think they all kind of work together.
Yeah, I agree. Perfect storm. So anyway, I guess I'll get us out of here, and I will see most of y'all in America Unplugged chat here in, 40 minutes? No, 35 minutes.
Have a good day, everyone.
All right. Hey, remember to keep your sword sharp and your armor tight. Until next time.